Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call today to discuss the Children's Environmental Health Network's new report on the impact of our environment on the health of our kids in Minnesota. Joining us on the call today is Nsayadu Witherspoon, Executive Director of the Children's Environmental Health Network, as well as Dr. Mary Chesney, Clinical Professor at the University of Minnesota School of Nursing and Pediatric Nurse Practitioner for over 30 years. After the call, there will be an opportunity for Q&A. Please stay on the line once the last speaker has concluded their remarks, and we'll open up the floor to questions. With that, I will now turn the call over to our first speaker, Nsayadu Witherspoon, Executive Director of CEHN.
Good morning, and thank you all for joining us, and for what I understand for a good part of Minnesota is a snowy morning, so we thank you again for your time. For those that don't know, the Children's Environmental Health Network is a national nonprofit organization that has been serving the needs of children and their families in regards to ensuring that all children are protected from known environmental health exposures. And this is where folks spend a lot of their time in schools, childcare, homes, and of course the overall community. Also, this work has been a part of some work that we've done previously. We have a Children's Environmental Health Indicator Report that is available on our website, www.cehn.org, that offers up some case examples of how all of us in the country can be considering how we measure and account for the health and well-being of children and also hold ourselves accountable. There is also a blueprint for protecting children's environmental health that we pulled together just a few years back, but still very relevant, that is also on our website. And that offers up a variety of priority areas for action that we all collectively can be mobilizing and moving in to address what can be a very overwhelming field of children's environmental health protection. So there has also been a growing demand from the public and child health advocates, public health advocates, and health policy makers, as well as those advising policymakers, to gain a better understanding of how children in their respective states are faring when it comes to known exposures to environmental hazards of concern. And so all of that collectively allowed us to finally move forward, and today we're very excited to release this Minnesota Children's Environmental Health State Profile along with two others. We're releasing Michigan and North Carolina today as well. It's been very important for us to highlight positive aspects happening in the state as well as those that may be some of the greatest challenges to help identify some areas that need maybe some additional growth and attention. We do provide resources available for all data at the end of the profile, so please feel free to go in and look at where that data was pulled from. And we do want to provide an overall disclaimer that we had to aim to look for data available in all 50 states so that we could standardize these indicators as much as possible. So with that said, we would highly encourage that if there is peer-reviewed data within the state, there are some wonderful institutions in Minnesota that I'm sure are producing some helpful information in some of these indicators. Our recommendation is to use this resource in tandem with other existing state resources for the best measure of public health protections. So we also have looked at major funding support, and you'll also see that towards the end of the profile. And if there are any states, in this case Minnesota, is actually receiving all major CDC-supported and other supported grant mechanisms that do feed into a lot of these indicators and add valued additional capacity, which is fantastic. For some quick highlights here, childhood poverty at 12% in Minnesota is actually much better than the national average at about 21%. Drinking water violations at 4% is much lower than the national average of 34%. Asthma is just lower at 6.8% than the national average of 7.5%. But I would note that with increased implications of climate change, we do expect upper respiratory concerns, chronic illnesses like asthma, to only increase in severity with increased heat index and increased air pollutants expected. The cancer rates are higher, actually, in Minnesota at 185.7 cases per 1 million children than the average national cases. So that's definitely an area to look at further as to what is happening there. The elevated blood lead levels are a bit lower than the national average. And as I mentioned, there's a lot of great support coming into the state. I would also like to mention that the state has lower neurodevelopmental disorders as far as the rates of 8.5% than the national rate of 8.8%. But again, being diagnosed with any form of learning disability or neurodevelopmental disability is lifelong and irreversible. So that also is an area that everyone across the country should be aiming to try to reduce, especially since we know that there are known environmental exposures that contribute to these type of disorders. And also 3.5% of children ages 3 through 17 in Minnesota have been diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder, while nationwide it's 7.5%. So how we would also encourage that these profiles be utilized, we have some ideas on that as a national child health advocacy organization. We would encourage that these are used to expand reach in Minnesota, to continue to link to child health champions and expand that reach, because we do know more voices and more advocates in these areas of putting children first will lead and do have a history in other states, including Minnesota, of heeding child protective policies and other standards that are more protective. Also, utilizing these for profiles for advocacy to increase capacity, public health staffing, and funding to address all these issues is extremely important, especially since there are underlying justice and disparity issues, certainly. So the poverty rate very much connects to these indicators as well. Also, we suggest utilizing this resource as a way to work with elected officials and those guiding and advising elected officials to harness the political will needed to overcome these challenges and continue to drill down and reduce these numbers and these indicators when at all and when needed to be possible. And finally, to help hold all accountable for the health and well-being of the current and future generations. And I will just complete my statement by saying that we are in need at this time of great uncertainty regarding the environment. It is especially important to have robust, meaningful, and regularly updated state-level data. So with that, I thank you for your attention, and I'd like to now pass over the time to Dr. Chesney.
Good morning, everyone. I'm happy to be on the call this morning. I am very pleased, as someone who was a primary care provider for children and their families for more than 30 years and now teach health policy and advocacy in two future nurses here at the School of Nursing at University of Minnesota. I'm so pleased to see this document published from Children's Environmental Health Network. I think for those of us who are providers or people who are advocates for children, this document really serves as a valuable scan on any number of important environmental issues that affect the children of Minnesota. So it gives us kind of a barometer reading of how we're doing. I would say in particular, I know that I'm very interested in the report with regards to water quality. I think we're very fortunate that the state of Minnesota does have water standards that are not present in a number of states, and I think we can be grateful for that. But I'm also interested in things like the lead levels, the cancer rates. For example, putting my provider hat on, I am happy that Minnesota's rate of children who screen for abnormal lead levels is lower than in many states. But I also want to put that in perspective as a provider. We have about approximately 420,000 children under the age of 6 in our state. So when you look at that 0.6% figure, it's really representing 2,520 children in our state who have abnormally high lead levels. And as NSA talked about, we have great concern because lead does cause long-term damage to the brain and bones of children. even after treatment. We know that children diagnosed with excessively high lead levels will experience lasting, lifelong effects, such as attention deficit issues, difficulty with working memory that affects their ability to learn. So from the pediatric provider standpoint, this type of information is helpful to me to think about what do we need to do as a provider community to ensure that all children are getting screened. I think the report stated that only 21.9% of children under the age of 6 in Minnesota have received testing for lead. So my guess is this lead level is quite underreported. So from the provider standpoint, I think it's helpful to look at figures like this and be able to think about what do we need to be doing better as a provider community for the children in Minnesota. I think the other piece that I find so valuable about this document is it really highlights areas that those of us who care about children and their families need to think about in terms of targeting our advocacy. And in particular, as NSA mentioned, I'm concerned about the fact that we have a higher pediatric cancer rate here compared to the national average. You know, is that due to the rural nature of our state? Is that due to some of the toxic herbicides that we know that the administration has yet to, roll back or has yet to stop the use of? We have concern about the autism rate that's higher here than other parts. And again, I would say as an advocate for children, you know, what's causing that? So it really makes me want to target advocacy towards those concerns. So I'm grateful to the Children's Environmental Health Network for providing this valuable scan. I think it's going to be very useful to those of us caring for children in Minnesota and also those of us who want to advocate on their behalf and for the future generation. Thanks.
Thanks, Dr. Chesney, and thank you to our speakers for joining this call today. At this time, we're going to open up the floor for questions. If you have a question, please press *3 to be placed in the queue. Again, that's *3 if you have a question.
Doesn't look like we have any questions for today. So, Julia, I'm going to toss it back to you for some final closing remarks.
Great. Thanks, everyone, for joining the call today, and hope you have a great rest of your day.